Scripture Stories is a program for you, the children. As you listen, remember that these stories are about real people who lived long ago. Read along with us. You'll find these stories in the Scripture Stories books published by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Have your mother, father, teacher, or a friend help you find the story, and invite them to read along with you, too. If you remember last week, we read the story about the prophet Abinadi and the wicked king Noah. Noah was not a good king like his father. He was wicked and would not obey God's commandments. He replaced the good priests his father had called with wicked priests. These wicked priests taught the people to sin. God sent a prophet named Abinadi to Noah's people. Abinadi warned them that if they did not repent, they would become the Lamanites' slaves. When King Noah heard what Abinadi had said, he was angry. He sent men to bring Abinadi to the palace so he could kill him. Abinadi was taken to the king. King Noah and his priests asked him many questions. Abinadi was not afraid to answer their questions. He knew that God would help him. King Noah was angry and ordered his priests to kill Abinadi. Abinadi said if they touched him, God would kill them. The Holy Ghost protected Abinadi so he could finish saying what the Lord wanted him to. Abinadi's face was shining. The priests were afraid to touch him. Speaking with power from God, Abinadi told the people about their wickedness. He read God's commandments to them. He told them Jesus Christ would be born on the earth. Jesus would make it possible for people to repent, be resurrected, and live with God. Abinadi told the people to repent and believe in Jesus Christ or they would not be saved. King Noah and all but one of his priests refused to believe Abinadi. Noah told the priests to kill Abinadi. They tied him up and threw him in prison. The one priest who believed Abinadi was named Alma. He asked King Noah to let Abinadi go. The king was angry with Alma and had him thrown out. Then he sent his servants to kill him. Alma ran and hid, and the servants never found him. After spending 3 days in prison, Abinadi was again brought before King Noah. The king told Abinadi to take back what he had said against him and his people. Abinadi knew he had spoken the truth. He was willing to die rather than take back what God had sent him to say. King Noah ordered his priests to kill Abinadi. They tied him up, whipped him, and burned him to death. Before he died, Abinadi said King Noah would also die by fire. Some of the Nephites opposed King Noah and tried to kill him. The Lamanite army also came to fight the king and his followers. The king and his followers ran from the Lamanites, but the Lamanites caught up and began killing them. The king told his men to leave their families and keep running. Many of the men would not leave. They were captured by the Lamanites. Most of the men who had run away with King Noah were sorry. They wanted to go back and help their wives and children and their people. King Noah did not want the men to return to their families. He ordered them to stay with him. The men were angry with King Noah. They burned him to death, as Abinadi had prophesied. Then they went back to their families.
Witness faith in Jesus' word. Live and die to show obedience, as was Jesus Christ our Lord.
Children at home, please turn to Book of Mormon Stories and Chapter 15, Alma Teaches and Baptizes.
Alma escaped from King Noah's servants and hid for many days. While he was hiding, he wrote down what the prophet Abinadi had taught.
Alma repented of his sins and went to the Nephites secretly, teaching them Abinadi's message. Alma told the people to have faith in Jesus Christ and repent.
During the day, Alma hid in a pocket of trees near a pool called the Waters of Mormon.
Those who believed Alma's teachings went to the Waters of Mormon and were baptized. Alma baptized 204 people into the Church of Christ.
Alma ordained priests to teach the people. He told the priests to teach repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. He also said they must not argue, but be united.
Alma's people loved and served one another. They shared everything they had and were grateful to have learned about Jesus Christ, their Redeemer.
King Noah's servants saw Alma teaching the people. The king said Alma was turning the Nephites against him, so he sent an army to kill them.
God warned Alma that King Noah's army was coming. The people gathered their families, animals, and other belongings and fled into the wilderness.
God strengthened Alma's people so they could escape from King Noah's army. The army searched but never found them.
After traveling in the wilderness for 8 days, Alma's people came to a beautiful area that had pure water flowing through it.
Here they planted crops and built buildings.
The people wanted Alma to be their king, but Alma said God did not want them to have a king. God wanted them to be free.
So what did Alma do to prepare himself for baptism? Yes.
He repented.
He repented. All right. What did you do to prepare yourself for baptism? Yes, Caitlin.
I learned the Articles of Faith.
Okay, so you learned the Articles of Faith. That's always a great thing. How many of you learned the Articles of Faith or are learning the Articles of Faith right now? Excellent. So almost everybody there.
I'm on 5.
You're on number 5. Camille's on number 5. Excellent. What else did you do to prepare for your baptism? Yes, Caitlin.
I read the scriptures.
Okay, so you read the scriptures. Wonderful. Megan, what did you do?
I started to act more like a young adult than sort of a kid because I'm going to be making a big decision in my life.
Okay, so you were becoming more mature because you had bigger decisions to make. Excellent. Camille?
I talked to the bishop.
Excellent. That's a very important step before you're baptized. Excellent. Anders?
I practiced getting baptized with my dad.
Okay, so you knew what was going to happen. You practiced with it. Wonderful. So, what made the place called Mormon a good hiding spot for Alma to teach the people? What made it such a good hiding spot? Megan?
There was good water flowing through it so that they could drink water.
Okay, so it was a good spot for their physical nourishment. Very, very good. Anders?
And so they could hide from the Lamanites.
Okay, what made it easy for them to hide from the Lamanites, Daniel?
It was hidden in a pocket of trees.
Okay. Wonderful. Mason, why did they need to hide?
So the Lamanites couldn't kill them.
Okay. Why did the Lamanites want to kill them? Yeah, Caitlin.
Maybe because they didn't believe the same thing and they thought that it was weird to believe that.
Okay. So they maybe had different beliefs, different views. All right. How did the people of Alma feel when they learned they could be baptized? Yes, Megan.
They felt happy and excited that they could be forgiven for the bad choices that they had made in their lives.
Okay, so they were very excited. Wonderful.
They probably felt happy that they could have this experience and
become a member of the church.
Okay. Maybe that's how some of you felt as well when you were getting ready to be baptized. I'd like to go around the circle here and ask you that question. How did you feel when you were baptized? What do you remember about that day? Just one thing that you remember about the day when you were baptized. And I'm going to start with Anders here, and we're going to go around. Anders, what do you remember about the day you were baptized, and how did you feel?
It made me feel happy inside that I was going to be a member of the church, and I felt the Spirit.
Wonderful. That's excellent. Caitlin?
I felt great, and I felt like I'm pretty lucky to become a member of the church because some people don't even know about the church.
That's very, very true. Thank you. Mason?
I felt like I was reborn.
Okay. What does that mean to be reborn as you're baptized? Yeah, Megan.
When you're born, you have like no sins. You didn't do anything wrong. So when you're baptized, all those sins go away. So it's like you're renewed again, like you're reborn.
Okay, excellent. So what do you remember about your baptism?
I remember feeling great about myself because everybody I love was at my baptism supporting me in my decision that I made.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So it was a really good memory. Really, really wonderful time. Camille?
I felt clean and pure.
What makes you clean when you're baptized? Were you clean on the outside?
No.
You were
clean on the inside.
You were clean on the inside. What does that mean, being clean on the inside?
To be repented of your sins.
Okay, to be repented of your sins. Anders?
You have no sins.
You have no sins. All right. So is that what baptism does? Mm-hmm. It cleans you of your sins, makes you clean on the inside, like Camille said?
It takes away all the bad things that you've done in your life, and it's like being forgiven of all the bad things that you've done.
Okay. So if you can remember that feeling that you had, that wonderful feeling of being baptized, can you imagine how those people must have felt when they didn't know about baptism beforehand? And to know that they could be baptized and they could be forgiven of their sins, just think about that. How wonderful that must have been. What promises did each of us make when we were baptized? What are some of the promises? Name just a few. Mason?
That we could follow God's commandments.
Okay, wonderful. Yes, Caitlin?
And that maybe sometime we can go and live with him in heaven.
Okay, wonderful. So we try to return to live with him. Anders?
We will obey Heavenly Father's commandments.
You'd obey his commandments. Wonderful. Thank you. Daniel?
Try not to sin.
Try not to sin. So we would always, we'd always remember him. We'd try to do right, try to keep his commandments. How about serving him? Did we promise to serve him?
Go on a mission.
Go on a mission. All right. That's a wonderful way to serve. Yes, Megan?
Teach your friends and stand up for what you believe in.
Okay. So excellent. You can even do that before you go on a mission. Wonderful. Caitlin?
Be a young missionary and teach people about the gospel like a missionary would.
Okay. Excellent. Camille, how can you serve others?
Teaching them how to do the rite and teaching them to be baptized.
Okay. So teaching them how to do those things. How do you teach people that?
I would help the missionaries by being a young missionary and going and helping to teach people that I know that don't know about the church and the gospel.
Okay, wonderful. Caitlin?
Help teach brothers or sisters, your family, your neighbors, your friends, your cousins, just people that you know around you that probably need a little more thing in the church so they know a little more about it.
Excellent. So there's a little bit more responsibility that comes along with being baptized. Like Megan said, you're becoming a bit more mature.
Rainbows whenever there is rain.
What does Heavenly Father promise us when we're baptized? So we promise to serve Him and to take upon the name of Christ. What does Heavenly Father promise us? Anders.
That we can live with Him again.
Okay, that's a great promise, isn't it? Caitlin?
That we can live with Him again.
That we can live with Him again. Wonderful. Yes, Megan.
We'll have His Spirit to be with us, which is like having the Holy Ghost with us after we're baptized.
That's a very, very important thing, to have His Spirit to be with us. What does it mean to bear one another's burdens? Yes, Megan, your hand shot up on that one.
Yeah, help people out in hard times and try to comfort them.
Okay, try to comfort the people. That's wonderful. How can you do that? How can you comfort others? Yes, Anders.
By helping them, and like if they're hurt at school or they don't have anybody to play with, you can play with them.
That's excellent. Does anybody else have an example of when they were allowed to comfort somebody else? Or yes, Caitlin.
Me and my other friends, we were playing, and then one of my other friends like, "Hey, can I play with you guys?" And they're like, "We aren't gonna play with you if she's gonna play with us." And eventually, I went and played with her because she had no one to play with.
All right. I bet she was very grateful for that. That's a wonderful example. Thank you for sharing that. Megan.
Well, I'm on student council, so I'm supposed to kind of help people. And I saw this little girl, and she was just kind of walking around along the school building. And so I thought that my friends were over there playing. They wanted me to go over. And I told them, "I'm going to go play with this little girl." So I went with this little girl, and she said, "Nobody likes me and nobody will play with me." So we played tetherball together.
Awesome. Excellent. That's wonderful. What a great way to serve others. Let's see. Daniel, do you have any example of when you served another person, when you were able to comfort somebody else?
My brother took my sister's toy, so I kind of helped her and got her another one.
Okay, so you took care of the family. That's excellent. So we have examples at school. We have examples in the home. Let's see. Mason, do you have an example of when you served somebody else or were able to comfort somebody?
My friend was getting new glasses, and he came to school the next day with glasses. Some people made fun of him.
And what did you do about that?
Well, I just made him think it wasn't so bad, because they'll learn to get used to you having glasses.
Okay. What a great example. Thank you. So how did Jesus Christ serve others while he lived on the earth? Yeah, Megan.
He gave us the perfect example of what we should be like and something to follow.
Okay, wonderful. Camille, how did Jesus Christ serve others?
He healed people.
That's an excellent example. Yes, he did heal people. That's a wonderful way to serve, I would say. Caitlin.
He made the deaf hear and the blind see.
Excellent. That's a wonderful example. Yes, Camille.
He died for our sins.
That's a wonderful way to serve us. That's perhaps the greatest thing that he did, was dying for our sins. Yes, Anders.
He died for us.
He died for us. How does that serving us? What did that do for us?
It made us that so we can live with Heavenly Father again.
Okay. Excellent. Wonderful answer. Thank you. How can we follow Jesus Christ's example and serve others? How can we serve others?
Yes. By being like Jesus.
By being like Jesus. And what does that mean? How can we be like Jesus? Yeah, Megan.
Help others and be a good example to others around you.
Okay, great. Mason, how can we be like Jesus?
Well, we can follow his commandments.
We can keep his commandments. All right. Daniel, how can we follow Jesus Christ's example and serve others?
Be an example to younger.
Okay, so be an example to younger. Do you think we can be an example to older people as well? I think so. Yes.
Include people so they have someone to play with and they can feel like if someone's new to the neighborhood, they can feel welcome.
Okay. So include people, make them feel welcome. Great. Anders.
Help your brother and sister.
Oh, help your brother and sister. How do you help your brother and sister, Camille?
Well, actually, I have two. I have an older brother and then I have two littler sisters and I read them books while my mom is cooking or something so she doesn't like have to take care of them while she's cooking and so they won't get burnt.
Wow, what a wonderful way to help. Excellent. Yeah, Megan.
Well, like, What I help my brothers and sisters with is I have an infant with his brother, and I help him because it's kind of harsh for him because he can't tell us what he wants. So I'm kind of the babysitter for the baby.
Excellent. So you help him get what he wants. Yes, Caitlin.
Well, I have three younger brothers, and eventually I play, like, sometimes cars with them or Power Rangers or different things with them while my mom can, like, put the baby to sleep or something.
That's excellent. What a great way to help out. Yeah. Anders.
Sometimes if, like, my brother is trying to build something out of the Legos and he can't do it, I come along, so I'm, like, right next to him. I see him, he can't do it, so I go over and help him.
What great examples you all are. Thank you for sharing those with you. And if you think of any more while we're going along, just go ahead and raise your hand. Okay, so let's start over here with Daniel. Daniel, what kind of things do you do today to help you keep your baptismal covenants?
Go to church and listen to General Conference.
Okay, that's a wonderful way to help you keep your baptismal covenants. What do we do at church that helps us keep our baptismal covenants? Caitlin?
The sacrament.
Yes, you take the sacrament. All right, wonderful. Megan?
I choose the right.
Okay, that's definitely an important part of keeping our covenants. Anders?
Read the scriptures.
You read the scriptures. That's a wonderful way to make sure that you're keeping your covenants. Caitlin?
Prayer.
Praying, reading your scriptures. Mason, I know you have another answer.
We have family home evening.
Excellent. That's a wonderful way to make sure that we are keeping our covenants. Megan, did you have your hand up?
Yeah. I make sure that I'm making good choices and that I can be an example to my younger siblings in the home.
Okay, so a good example, making good choices. You all have had wonderful answers. That is excellent. Children at home, please turn to Book of Mormon Stories and Chapter 16, King Limhi and His People Escape.
The Lamanites captured many of the Nephites who had not escaped with King Noah. The Lamanites took them away and gave them land, but made them pay heavy taxes.
The Nephites made Limhi their new king. Limhi was King Noah's son.
But he was not wicked like his father. He was a good man.
King Limhi tried to make peace with the Lamanites, but they continued guarding the Nephites and being cruel to them.
One day, King Limhi saw some strangers outside the city. He had put them in prison. The strangers were Nephites from Zarahemla.
Their leader was named Ammon. King Limhi was happy to see him. He knew that Ammon could help his people escape from the Lamanites.
King Limhi called his people together. He reminded them that their wickedness was the reason they were being held by the Lamanites.
He told his people to repent, trust God, and obey the commandments. Then God would help them escape.
The Nephites learned that the Lamanites, who guarded the city, usually got drunk at night.
That night, King Limhi sent extra wine to the guards as a present.
King Limhi and his people were able to walk past the drunken guards and escape.
Ammon guided King Limhi and his people through the wilderness to Zarahemla, where they were welcomed.
Excellent. When King Limhi called his people together, what did he say was the reason that they were being held by the Lamanites? Why were they being held by the Lamanites, Daniel?
Because of their wickedness.
Because of their wickedness. Okay. So what did he tell them to do? Yes, Anders.
Repent.
He told them to repent. What else did he tell them to do?
And trust God.
And trust God. Wonderful. What else? There is another thing that he told them to do. Camille.
Obey the commandments.
Wonderful. If they did that, if they repented, trusted God, and obeyed the commandments, what would happen? Yes, Caitlin.
They could escape.
They could escape. Okay, wonderful. Okay, children in our home audience, please share experiences you have had and share the stories we've read today with your parents or brothers and sisters and or friends. We have learned so much. I hope we'll all thank Heavenly Father in our prayers for all he taught us. And I hope we'll keep talking about the things we've learned with our families and other people we love. Next week, we'll read chapter 17, Alma and His People Escape.
See you next
power.